desire your prayers. Appreciate each one that's here. Glad to have Linda with us. We're old time friends. Go back to basically teenage years. She was about 10 when I started being friends with the family. And so we're glad she's here. Her dad was the last one that worked with me before I got saved that night. And he done everything he could do, and I'm glad the Lord didn't stay down there with him, didn't follow me home. And I was glad the Lord come on down and started working, or kept working with me all the way to the house, last surrendered. I appreciate that. Been praying. And I feel led to keep on with the message line I've been preaching on. Now this is a little unusual for me to do it this way. Matter of fact, in all the meetings I've been involved and held, I don't remember ever doing this just like this. But I want to follow the Lord. And the thought of priority is a thought that we need to work with. Since Sister Shirley wasn't here, that didn't leave enough room there. What is our main priorities? I want to go to Acts, the 13th chapter, please. Again, we desire your prayers. Chapter and about the 44th verse here, 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things that which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, it was a priority, and I've touched on this a little bit, but I want to go into greater depths of it tonight by the help of the Lord, so you pray. It was a priority that God basically bring everything to the Jews first. And he set that in order, but the Jews rejected it. They didn't want it. They turned it down, however you want to say it. They just flat did not want what Christ brought to them. He had been prophesied, set in place, so to speak. They had heard of it for years. And then when he's born, the king tried to get everything to get him killed. The Lord moved on the scene. God did, and had his son moved here and done this and done that to protect him. And everything began to roll. And then Jesus come on the scene. And John the Baptist made the statement there, behold, the Son of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. They died for all sin or something like that. So anyway, Jesus was coming on the scene. He said, I am the light, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was bringing forth the truth. He was bringing forth the Word of God. He set it in place. He taught it and so forth. And over here in John, the 8th chapter, I believe it is, he's talking here. I want to get that 8 and 30, I think it is. He says here, 8:29, He sent me, and He that sent me, the Father, had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And He spake these words, and as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now then, there were some Jews that believed on Christ. There were some Jews that followed the Lord. And He told them, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word. Well, there was a lot of them that did not want to do that. And they rejected and they turned it down. And they give Paul all kind of trouble. And Barnabas and different of the disciples trouble up over and over and so forth. So Paul said here, since that you sin, you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles rejoiced over that. When they heard it, they were glad. Listen, we're basically of the Gentile world. You and I ought to be rejoicing over the truth tonight. It was brought forth. The Jews rejected it, so to speak. And John and Paul and Barnabas and different ones, they just moved to bring the truth right on down. It would have been opened up to everybody anyway. But the way this was brought out, the way this was written, to me it shows the priority of the fact that it was supposed to be given to the Jews first. They turned it down. Well, the next step was the Gentiles. And tonight I want to ask you, is the truth a priority to you? Do you really appreciate the truth? Do you love the truth tonight? You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the one thing that is set in place for you and I. If it wasn't for the truth, you and I would be in trouble tonight. If it wasn't for the truth, we wouldn't have the blessings that we get. You can read it every day. You can read it 24 hours a day, and it will bless you over and over and over. You can be inspired and challenged and stirred by the truth, by the Word of God, for the very fact that it's eternal, that it's backed by the power of God, that it is Jesus Christ Himself, so to speak. And so consequently, He wrote it. He knows it better than anybody else. And He gives it to us. And through the Holy Ghost, it's written and blessed and worked with right on the fleshy tables of our heart. Oh, tonight, do you love the truth? Do you love it? The sad thing is that there's a lot of people that have turned for the truth today. People that we've known that had heard it. Known it. People that I've known nearly all my saved life. Worked with some of them, preached with them in my pulpits, and I in them, and so forth. There's people that has begun to move away from and turn down, and they want to agree to some of this, but the bottom line was they're not doing what they ought to do. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Tonight, the truth, the Word of God, is something that you and I ought to put extremely high priority on tonight. High priority. Because the devil don't want you to have high priority on it. He doesn't want you to like it. He don't want you to love it. He doesn't want you to appreciate it. He wants you to walk away from it. He wants you to turn it down. And the Lord said the truth is going to make you free. That's what's going to set you free. A number of years ago, we were in a congregation, and if I remember, it was just one of the girls and myself. And they were the one, I don't remember, Donna or Cynthia women, they were pretty small. And so they was wanting something, and I hand them one of these right here. Now, these are a 26th translation of the Bible. There's three of these that make the full Bible. And this is the New Testament part right here. And if I remember right, I hand her that one. I can't buy those anymore just to order them new. As far as I know, I can't get them like I used to. So they're precious to me. They're valuable to me. And Cynthia or Donna, whichever it was, they were thumbing through it, and they'd been a little bit rough with it. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Be gentle. That's valuable. That word is valuable. There is people overseas that would love to get a hold of this word, and they would eat it and devour it like you wouldn't believe, because it's extremely valuable. They didn't have ease to get it. Listen, the United States and people that have had the truth, and I'm not talking about like we have it as the Church of God, but just the Word of God itself, those that have been freely given, I don't think they appreciate it like that those overseas that can't get a hold of it. Oh, Brother James and different ones had made statements that when they've taken Bibles and gone overseas and given them away and so forth, there is people that made the statements that they give so much wages or so many weeks of work or whatever just to buy that Word of God. They want it. They appreciate it. It's something they've longed for, they've desired for. You should know the truth. We're going to turn. We're going to give it to the Gentiles. We're going to give it to the people that are going to appreciate it. And the Gentiles were glad, and they took it, and they run with it, and they were blessed with it. And that's the reason it's come all the way down. God has protected it and taken care of it and handed it to you and I and given it to us and taught it to us and done things for us. And you and I ought to use it as a high priority tonight. Devil don't want us to do that, but you and I need to put a high priority on the Word of God. This Word of God is better than any magazine or book that has ever been written. It's the Word of God. It's the eternal Word of God. It come from God. He wrote it. He set it in place. He knows how to open it up to you, how to reveal it to you. He can take the hardest scriptures and reveal it to you. He can take the easiest scripture. He can take scriptures and take them, and you can read them now, and you can read it maybe a few weeks or a few months or a year, and you can get something new out of it that you didn't ever get before, because Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And He's the one that gives it to you and reveals it to you. Oh, tonight the, 14th chapter of John. Here in it, or is it 16? Maybe it's 16. 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Oh, tonight, guide you into all truth. The Lord wants you and I to be guided into all truth. All of it. We need to put a priority on this. And if you and I, if we put a priority and we put a hungering, and the Lord sees this, He knows this. He knows whether we want the truth tonight. He knows whether we love the truth tonight. He knows whether we appreciate it. He knows whether it's a high priority in your mind or mine. He knows that. You can't fool Him. You can't pull wool over His eyes. I preached the other time. The Lord knows whether we really appreciate this truth. How much do we appreciate? How much priority do we put on it tonight? The devil tried to stop it. He's still trying to stop it. And he will stop you if he can stop you. He will do anything he can do to hinder you. He'll do anything he can do to keep you from getting this word, from enjoying this word, to being blessed by this word. But he said you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You should know it. There's your freedom. There's your power. There's your glory. You and I ought to put a high priority in something that will give us the freedom that we've got tonight. There is people that is jailed all over this country. They're put in by the thousands upon thousands of men and women that is put behind bars and so forth. And if you would say, I will turn you and give you freedom tonight, they'd jump at it in a moment. But yet in the spiritual realm, some people, they start and they go real good, and then all of a sudden things come along, the Lord begins to deal with them, and they start wanting to back up. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to put a priority. Yes, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. I want that word. I want that freedom. I want that power. Oh, tonight, if we start pulling back in one area, that's going to start stalemating the whole thing. That's going to start hindering the whole thing. So you and I ought to put a priority. Yes, Lord, I will do everything you want me to do tonight. I love that word. I appreciate that word. Oh, he says here, he said they waxed bold. Well, said the next Sabbath day, back to Acts 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Do you know that that almost is non-existent anymore? When 9/11 happened, what did they say that happened? People got stirred up, and the churches across the land was fuller than they've been in years. Everybody was stirred. But then as time went on and things settled down and Bush made his statements and went after the man that he went after and so forth, things began to settle down. And what happened? People went in, they come out. They just kind of drifted back into their old ways. They didn't put a high enough priority on the Word of God. Oh, tonight. He said, when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Tonight, you and I ought to be bold for the truth. We need to be bold in love. We need to be bold in wisdom, or use wisdom in our boldness for the truth. But we need to be bold sometimes. We need to stand up for something that has done for us what the Word of God has done. Some people want to push us in a corner and hide us and so forth. But you and I need to be bold enough to say, no, this is what the Word of God says. Brother Michael Williamson was working one day. And over in a trailer or in a UPS truck there, whatever it was, maybe it was a trailer, they was discussing, can you live above sin or can you not? And they were discussing back and forth, and Brother Michael's listening to him, but he just kind of kept his mouth shut, didn't say anything. And one of them said, well, we need to go over next door here, the next trader, and ask Brother Michael. So they did. And he said, what's the Word of God say? And he gave him that scripture over there, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Oh, tonight. There is people tonight that you and I need to be bold. Like I said, we want to use wisdom. We want to use firmness and love. But the bottom line is, when it gets down to this, is eternal Word of God, and God wants us to be bold enough with it to let people know this is the truth. We don't need to back up. We don't need to hide in the corner. But we need to say, thus saith the Word of God, and give it to them. Praise God. And know it. Know what the Word says. I've taught them and taught this for years, that you and I need to read it and know it and understand it. We need to be able to pray with people. If nobody was around and somebody come to you to get saved, could you pray them through to salvation? Could you give them the Word of God? Could you pray them through to sanctification? I heard that somebody had got saved in a certain place. And so I got to questioning and digging into it and found out that a certain older person was working with this other person and so forth. And they said, well, they wanted prayer and so forth, but Brother Carl, they really didn't get saved. And I examined it and I looked at it and I said, well, I tell you, in my mind, I told myself what the problem was. I said, I really don't think they knew what they're doing. That's the problem. If they was wanting prayer, if they was under conviction, and you knew what you was doing, how to walk them step by step through it and help them to get salvation, more than likely that person would have gotten saved. But evidently, somehow, something didn't work just quite right. And I groaned in my spirit. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you love the Word of God tonight? Is it a priority to you? It's a priority to God. If it wasn't a priority to God, He wouldn't have given it to you. If it wasn't a priority to God, He wouldn't have protected it all these years. If you want to see something interesting, you need to go down to, I believe it's in Eureka Springs, and they talk about there, they have a deal of how we got our Bible and so forth. If I remember right, they even have a film type deal that you can look at that takes you all the way back to here and brings you through all these different kings and whatever it is, and brings you down to the point and shows you where the Word of God, how it evolved to you. It's quite interesting. Quite interesting to see how it evolved. The Lord protected it and took care of it and brought it to you. And tonight, do you appreciate that? Oh, He said there that they were bold. They waxed bold and said it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. We're just going to go on down the next step and begin to bring it out and begin to tell them. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation in the ends of the earth. You and I are to be a light. We're to be a light to the Gentiles. We're to be a light to Babylon. We're to be a light to everybody. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. It was preached. It was taught. It was brought out. It was opened up. They were stirred up, and they brought out the word of the Lord all across and around the land. Oh, tonight, how much priority is the Word of God to you? I'm going to tell you, you're going to need to put it on high priority, because this end of time, the devil is fighting the Word of God and the truth at a great rate. He's got a priority too, and that is to stop it. The devil's got a priority to destroy it. The devil's got a priority. I don't want this to go out. And that's why I said you and I can hide in a corner if we want to. But the bottom line is, God said this is a priority, and you and I ought to have it that way in our mind. Jesus gave His life for it. He lived. He preached it. He taught it. And He told them there in John there, for as many, He told them there, He said, you believe. How did it go there? He said, many believed on Him. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word. If you continue in My Word. This puts not only a responsibility to them, but it's a responsibility to you and I. People think, well, I'll just get to a place I can do what I want to do. No, if you continue in My Word. Then are you My disciples indeed. You've got to follow Me. You've got to follow Me fully. You've got to do what I want you to do. You cannot be the depths and the everything that I would have you to be if you don't follow Me to a full extent. And you should know the truth. The Bible said in Matthew, I believe it's the 5th chapter, He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now for a while, I believe that to be only at the end of life. But I was reading something one day, and all of a sudden it got real clear in my mind. This is twofold. This is here and there. This is here and there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The only way that you and I are going to see the depth of Jesus Christ is to be pure. He's not going to allow the sinners and the hypocrites and the backsliders to see Him. It's going to take the pure in heart, those that are pure, those that are doing all they can do to live for God, and God is blessing them and working with them, those that have been fully sanctified and saved and so forth, those are the ones that Jesus is going to reveal Himself and bless Himself to them in every way because of the pureness. He's holy, they're holy, and those come together in a spiritual union, and He's going to pour on the blessings in that. Oh, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Tonight, how much priority are we putting on the holiness and on the Word of God? How much priority do we appreciate what the Lord is doing? What He's done? Let's go to 1 Timothy 2. I'm going to switch to another angle here. You pray for us. First Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. I exhort therefore that first of all, high priority here, supplication, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer needs to be a high priority in our life. That again is something that the devil fights as much as he can. One brother, Ed Sorrell, when we were at Guthrie and pastored there, he got up one night and as he normally did, I think he testified about every Wednesday night, maybe not every Wednesday night, but he testified a lot. And he was bringing out the point of, he talked about giving a little bit, talked about 10%, but then he said, what about you and I giving 10% of our time per day to prayer, study, reading, and fasting, and so, maybe not fasting every day, but prayer and study and reading and so forth of the Word of God. He said 10%. That'd be what, 2.4 hours? That's a lot of time. But is that too much? You say, well, yeah, that's a lot of time, Brother Carl. I can't quite give that every day. Can't quite do that every day. Can't we? What's our priority? You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to pray. We need to pray here. It said for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Oh, tonight, is prayer the priority that it needs to be for you and I? Prayer for all men. Prayer for our lost loved ones. Those in deception. Those dying in the next 24 hours. How many have you ever discovered somebody that's died? I went to a home of a lady, Nichols Hills area, which is a rich area. In Oklahoma City, an old rich area, not the oldest, but one of the oldest rich areas in Oklahoma City. Marianne Stocker was her name. She was a VP with a stock company, and she had a nice home and so forth, and had there, and she had me cleaning it, and I would go, I think I was going every week to clean this home. Well, she'd either leave a key, or she would meet me there at whatever time that I was going to be there, and she'd meet me and let me in the house, then she'd go her way. This particular day that I went, I can't remember what day it was, it seemed like it was on Wednesday, but I'm not positive. And I went there, and things just didn't look quite right. I couldn't get in the gate. There was no key. And I thought, what's going on? I went around, all the blinds were pulled. That was unusual. Usually she had some blinds open, maybe in different parts of the house. I reached out and I touched the hood of her car thinking, well, if she just pulled in, maybe it'd be warm. But it wasn't warm. I thought, something's not right. So I happened to have a number to her office. And I went down. And I went down the street, that's before I had a cell phone, way before I had a cell phone. And I went down to a phone at 7-Eleven there, just down the street, and I called her office and I said, have you seen Marianne today? No. I said, she's supposed to be in? Yeah. I said, what time? Said, she's got a lunch date with one of her clients. So I said, she ought to be coming in any time. Yes. I said, well, I think this woman's name was Judy. I said, Judy, I said, I don't know what's going on. But I said, I think she's still in that house and I can't get in. And I said, something appears to be fishy. Do I need to call the police? I said, yes, ma'am, I think you do. Well, she did. The police was there before I got back to the house. I mean, Nichols Hills police was right there. They told me I could leave and go on. That was the last house of the day for me that day. So I went on home. They got my phone number and everything. And they called me and said, we'd like you to come back. I don't know how long I'd been home, but I come back over there. And what had happened is she had died in her sleep of an aorta aneurysm. Now, Sister Shirley, how long does it take for a person to die of an aorta aneurysm? Not very long. That artery burst in her sleep. Now, this is what shook me up so much, is the fact that this woman went to bed, everything was fine, and she woke up in eternity. You think about that. Do you know anybody that's ever happened to? That they'd gone to bed and they woke up. They never woke up. They died in their sleep. They never had a chance to pray. They never had a chance to read the Word of God. They never had a chance to do anything. They were gone. They stepped out into eternity in their sleep. I tell you, that shook me up. I got to thinking about that, and that got real serious in this old boy's mind. A number of years ago, I was in LaRonde, Louisiana. Message had gone forth on death one night. And I was back at the house getting ready and for the night and everything. And I was thinking about my relatives. And I said, Lord, please, please give them time to pray before they die. Give them time to pray. He spoke to me so plain and he said, son, he said, people die so fast they never have a chance to pray. Never have a chance to pray. Do we need to pray? We need to pray for those that's going to be dying in the next 24 hours. We need to pray, Lord, have mercy on them one more time. Because they could be in a car accident and never have a chance to pray. Princess Di, when she got killed in that accident down there in Italy or wherever it was at, I wonder if she had a chance to pray. How many people do you know that has been killed? Brother Brian Rich, when I was in South Carolina, Sister Sherry called him, and there's a young couple, I think, and two or three children had been coming to meeting, and the wife called Sister Sherry and said, my husband's been gunned down in cold blood. Didn't have a time to pray. I know another case in Florida. This woman had been a prostitute, and the saints happened to meet her, some of them, and got to working with her and got her to come into meeting and so forth, and she got saved and lived that way for a while. But the devil got the conniving and umbrella, and she went back into that, and she walked out of a house one day, and she's walking down her sidewalk, and there's two men over here, and they pulled guns, and as she walked between them, they fired and killed her in cold blood right there. She had gone back on the Lord, evidently. Do we need to pray for those that's dying? Does it need to be a priority? If you was in serious trouble and you needed prayer, would you want somebody to pray for you? Yes, you would. Why, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. He was in complete union with the Father. He prayed. Said one time, didn't he pray all night long? And different times it mentioned about him praying. Oh, prayer needs to be a priority among us. I'm going to tell you, when we're on our knees and we're pouring out our hearts and our minds and our souls to God, I'm going to tell you that can hold hell back and bring heaven down. Praise God. The people that die in war. The people that die by terrorist attacks. This, I have prayed many a prayer for people, and I have felt for them over and over that over in some of these countries where these terrorists go in, maybe to a restaurant or to a square, to a mall or something, and set off a bomb and kill a number of innocent people. Kill them right there. That was your loved one that was killed. I've never had it happen, but folks, I'm going to tell you, I think if somebody killed my brother in cold blood, I'd have some problem with that. That would hurt me. That'd be something I'd have to pray about. I could forgive the person, but it would not be an easy deal, so to speak. Sister Catherine Williams had a brother that had a stepson. Their stepson wanted to use the car. And the stepfather said, "Now I need to go down the street. Please let me use it just a few minutes. I'll bring it back and let you have it." That made the boy mad. He got on the balcony, and when the man come back and stepped out of the car, boom, boom, and he killed him in cold blood right there. Sister Catherine said, "I had to pray for forgiving grace to be able to forgive that man that killed my brother, that boy, that young man that killed my brother in cold blood." She said it was not easy. Prayer. How much do we pray for people? People in the operating rooms. I wonder how, I have no idea on the figure of this. I've been told, I've read that about 6,000 people die per hour around the world. How many of them die in an operating room? My sister. I have a man in the congregation, Brother Ron Edmondson. He has a brother named Freddie. Freddie's wife started having pain in her stomach area, abdomen area. And they didn't think too much about it at first. I don't think she was nauseated particularly anything, but she just had a lot of pain. Finally, they took her to the hospital, and evidently what was happening, she was having an aneurysm type problem, and that burst in there and killed her. My sister is an operating room tech. She has done many, many, many operations over the point of 30 years. She started her training in 1983 before Rebecca and I got married. And she told me, she said, any type of aneurysm is something you can't, even if you're right there, you can't hardly get enough blood back in the body to keep the person going, because that pouring out, especially in the stomach area. Wilma's gone. It's been nearly 2 years, and Freddie's still having trouble with it. His wife died quickly when Brother Ron called me and told me. I said, I was dumbfounded. I said, really? I couldn't believe that she had gone that quick. There is possibly thousands of people over a period, well, I know there probably is, that die in operating rooms. Of course, in that case, they do know that they're facing something serious. They know they need to be praying. They know they need to be considering. But are you and I praying for those people? Train derailments. Our president, all of our national leaders, our local leaders, our world problems, just world problems and leaders all over the world. How about the ministers? How much do you pray for the ministers? How much do you pray for the missionaries? How much do you pray for our saved families, our congregation, the sick saints, sick in general that we know of? One person one time was listening to a radio program And on a Sunday morning, if I remember right, this has been several years ago, and they was telling how that a congregation needs to pray for their pastor. And she told Rebecca, she goes, it just light went on her mind. I need to pray for Brother Carl. Well, she should have been praying for it 3 or 4 or 5 years before that. I don't know what the problem was, but see, the point is that some people don't think, well, he don't need no prayer, she don't need no prayer, everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs prayer, and you and I need to make prayer a priority as much as we can. It says his eyes are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. It's in Isaiah 66. For as soon as Zion travailed, prayed, fasted, done whatever, how much have you prayed for this little meeting? How much have you poured? How much have you fasted for this meeting? Well, that's the minister's job, is it? Not totally. Every one of us have a part in this meeting. Every one of us have a part in every camp meeting, every assembly meeting, every meeting that goes forth. What are we doing? We're putting forth a request for Wichita. Wichita's a meeting. We need to be there. I was invited to that meeting, and I told Brother, I said, that'd be nice, but I said, I'll be out in West Virginia. I have my own meeting out there. I can't be there. But we want to pray for it. Oh, tonight, is prayer a priority? Is it a priority? How many times have you got on your knees and prayed and the Lord's blessed you? How many times has He poured out understanding and truth and encouragement and strength and blessings, given you songs or enlightened you or whatever, when you're down on your knees and He meets you there? One time in our early, early marriage, I don't know, it would have been within the first year we were living on the farm there with Clayton and Evelou. Evelou, well, I don't know if she's gone at this time or not. She died 6 months and a week after we were married. Anyway, I was in the White House, and Becky and I was living over there, and we were eating and so forth in the main house, and I was helping Clayton on the farm and traveling and so forth and working for the Lord. And I was down praying one night. And of course, we were newlyweds. But Rebecca come in, and I was so engrossed and so blessed in prayer, I didn't care if she was there or not. I was so blessed. The Lord was filling me up. He was pouring it out on me. And I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want her to bother me. I didn't want anybody to bother me, because the Lord was blessing my soul in prayer. That's happened other times too. Brother Marty, how many times have you blessed in prayer? How many times have all of you been blessed in prayer? There was a case, and I think it was in Ohio, where a brother, he was wanting a blessing. So he come home from work, and he went down in the basement, and he got on his knees, and he told the Lord, I'm not getting up till you bless me. And he did. And that man come out of that basement shouting and praising and rejoicing over what God had done for him. And then the next day, he wanted the same thing again. He was ready to go back and get it again. It makes you want it more and more. But you and I have got to put a priority on it and do it. We've got to pray. We've got to fast. We've got to seek God. Oh, it said, first of all, priority here. First of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession, that giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful, a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Right now, it appears like we're in the last of the last days. It seems like everybody's seeing it. Not just the ministers or not just the old heads around, but seems like everybody's saying, we must be getting close to the end. There's too many things happening. There's too many things that are looking dark and not pretty at all, so to speak. Our leaders and so forth, they are doing things that are shocking to everybody. The things they're backing, the things they're supporting, so to speak. Anytime you have leaders come out and say gay rights, gay marriage is all right, folks, there's something terribly wrong with our leaders. And they're doing it. They're backing. The morals of this country had been crumbling for a long time. And I'm going to tell you, it's on a mighty steep slope right now. Things are not looking good right now. Pray. pray, pray. That's all that'll probably turn this thing around. If it, anything will turn it around, prayer will help to turn it around. Giving of thanks, prayer, supplication. Supplication is extra prayer. It's staying down there. It is going the second mile. Getting to a place of pouring out and staying there and beseeching God in heaven till you can get through and you know your prayers have been answered. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Good and acceptable. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, is prayer a priority to us tonight? Do we really appreciate what the Lord has done? He set a good example of prayer. He set a good example for you and I. Are we following that? Cousin Ed, he said, 10% study and prayer every day. 10%. And I know that'd be hard for some to do. I know that. But how much do we pray? How much priority do we put on it? Let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, 23rd verse. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brothers have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. This is another priority. And that is that the Lord is wanting any little problems between us to be solved as quick as possible. He's interested in keeping unity at a high rate. Unity brings power. Power brings results. You and I need to, and I'm not saying there's problems here. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you do have a problem, anytime in the future, the wise thing to do according to these scriptures is get that thing resolved as quick as possible. Don't let it go on. Don't let it fester. I had a situation one time several years ago. Rebecca and the girls were gone. I was home by myself and I was praying about this. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, "You made mistakes too, child." And I looked up like this. I said, "Who? Me? I didn't make no mistakes." He said, "You did too." And He flooded my mind and began to deal with me. And He let me know, you know, sometimes we get into a problem with another person. They think, well, it's all them. We didn't do a thing, did we? He let me know that no matter who we are, that there's usually always mistakes made on both sides. You'll speak out of turn. You'll do something if there's a problem between you and another person. That includes your wife, your children, or whatever. And so He let me know He wanted me to humble my heart. And I said, "All right, I'll go and straighten this out." It wasn't that big a deal, but it needed something that needed to be worked on. And so I told Him, I said, "I need your help." This is what He told me. He said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." It said, "I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them." Yes, sir. It's time now for call to go into action. I went to Monarch. I got a chance to work on this problem. I went to him. And I approached him and done everything I could do to straighten this thing out. And I walked away and the glory of God hit me so powerful, I was ready to go back and work on it some more. If there's anything undone, I wanted to go straighten it out. The Lord met me and poured out glory in my soul for the fact. For the fact that I had made the effort to go and to reconcile and to do everything I need to do. The Lord wants us to correct things quite quickly. And said, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." And that's not just talking about married couples neither. That could be others too. Because we don't know when we'll go out of here. We don't know when they'll go out of there. There have been people that have died so fast they never had a chance to reconcile with anybody. And the person that was there that was left had that hanging over their shoulders and over their head. That's painful. There had been people that wished they could have resolved things. And the person was gone. They couldn't resolve it. They couldn't say anything to them. They couldn't say, forgive me. They couldn't say, I wish this or I wish that. They wished they had had the time to do it, but they had time and they didn't do it. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, you know there's something there. You know there's a problem. Had another situation where that an older minister, I had had a problem, and I was hurt, and he didn't attempt to call me, write me, or nothing. And I was hurt at him. His wife said something to Rebecca. This has been a number of years ago, and I don't remember what brought up the conversation. Rebecca just looked at her and said, Carl's hurt at him. Why? Well, I don't remember what she told him, but anyway, she went and told him, and he called me or whatever he done. And so I pinned him down. He said, Brother Carl, even though I knew all about it, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And of course, I was dumbfounded since he was older than me. He knew more than I did about this situation. Not maybe the whole situation I'm talking about, but the whole scope of the plan of salvation. He is a very intelligent man. And the Lord spoke to me after that. And He said, when you don't know what to do, show love. You can't go wrong in showing love. He should have called me. He should have said, Brother Carl, I'm praying for you. He should have done something. Because when you don't do anything, you give the devil room to work. And the devil was working big time on me. He was working big time. And I was hurting him. And maybe he didn't even know it. But the bottom line was, when we know something, when we know we have done something, when we know there's a problem, the Lord is instructing us here to put a priority on it and to get it straightened out. To work on it. To take care of it quickly. Husband and wife. Parents and children. Children and parents. Brothers and sisters. Brothers in the Lord. Sisters in the Lord. Brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters. Take care of these things. Are we doing that? Are we putting a high enough priority on this? What really doesn't matter, does it? Do we want the Lord to come down and bless us? Do we want the song service to be blessed? Do we want the preaching to be blessed? Do we want the power to be here? If we do, we need to do everything we can do to entreat Him to come down and bless us, don't we? We need Him here. We're not educated, highly educated. Some minister among us have more education than others. But the bottom line is, we're dependent on the Lord because we didn't go to a dead seminary to learn how to preach. We've got the Holy Ghost, and if we don't have Him to help us, we're in trouble. We've got to have Him. And so consequently, we've got to do what we need to do to entreat Him and to bring about unity and so forth. And He blesses unity. He blesses unity. He wants us to be unified. He doesn't like strife in the camp. What was it, Lot and Abraham? He said, let there be no strife between us because we be brethren. Do we put enough priority on the brethren part? That we are brethren. That the Lord wants us to love one another and work together. If we have problems, air them out, take care of them. If we can't do it individually and come together and so forth. I've got a problem right now I've never been able to straighten out. And I've tried. You may not be able to straighten everything out, but if you try, that makes a difference. And I tried. And it was left in a situation, some other ministers was involved, and we was trying to get this problem resolved and so forth, and I couldn't get it done. And so I asked the brother, I asked him, I said, what about this? I said, I sent this to you. He said, I never got it. I said, I sent this to you. He said, I never got that neither. I sent this to you. He said, I didn't get that neither. I'm thinking, why didn't you get it? Either he flat out lying to me or his wife done something with it. And one of the ministers spoke up and said, I think the four of you, the two wives and the two husbands, need to get together and iron this out. And that's never happened. It's never happened. I'm waiting for the day for him to call me up. I've tried and tried and tried. I put forth all the effort. And I'm not bragging when I'm saying this. I'm just using this example. I've done everything I feel I can do at this point to get this thing straightened out. And now Rebecca's gone. So we're down to three now. The Lord wants us to do everything we can do. If you can't straighten it out, that's one thing, but at least try. at least try. The Lord wants us to try. He wants us to put a priority that if we come and we bring our gift and we remember that thou leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. You to do it. And the Lord bless you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will work with you. In dealing with problems, there was a situation in a business deal that I knew of. I wasn't involved in it, but I just knew of it. And there was a woman had bought something and she was unhappy, and the owner of the business had taken it back and given her old car back to her and so forth. But she was giving him all kinds of fits. And so he was talking to me and he said, "I don't hardly know what to do with it." I said, "Well, you can go to her one more time." And then I thought, "Yeah, but if you don't have humility on both sides," I've seen that. I've mediated in situations I never could get them straightened out because there wasn't humility on both sides. So if you go to somebody, go in total humility and pray. Pray before you go and say, "Lord, help us that there be humility on both sides when you approach them. If they are offended to you, if you humble your heart and approach them and let them know, I want to resolve this, that is a good step in the right direction. That brother accepted the situation that I presented and so forth. I took the blame for it. I don't know what all I told him now, but it resolved it by coming to him and approaching him in a right manner. This is the biblical way to getting these things resolved." Says there one place, it says, go to them privately and then take two or three, and then if that don't work, take the whole church. But do it privately at first. Go one-on-one. Do everything you can do to get these things resolved, because when you do that and you put a priority on that, the Lord's going to bless it. Oh, Lord, help us tonight that we put a priority on the truth, put a priority on prayer, and put a priority on getting everything and keeping everything out of the way. Because the devil will make a mountain out of a molehill. He's done it all through the years. He does it with husbands and wives as he can. He does it with everybody. He wants to blow these things out of proportion. Imagination is the greatest nation. And when you and I allow things to go on, that imagination, the devil kicks it into full steam ahead and gives us trouble. So Lord, help us tonight to put our priorities in the right places. How much are we praying? How much are we loving the truth tonight? The Lord wants us to love the truth tonight. He gave His life for this. He done everything He could do for this. And He wants us to have a priority that will bless Him and bless souls around us. I appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me.